You want to open your Bibles to the 9th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We'll use that as our jumping off place this morning. I'm delighted to be with you this morning and so happy for the opportunity to be back here to see a lot of folks that I have known for a long time and to meet some new people. I have to tell you, being here this morning, I feel like everyone's a new person. I don't recognize anybody with a mask on. I told Mark Bingham last night when he picked me up at the airport, the strangest thing, but when I put on that mask, I just immediately become confused. I can't hear well. I can't see well. My glasses are fogged up. I don't recognize people. I feel like I'm in another zone, really. But I'm happy to be the one teaching and preaching this week because I get to take my mask off and breathe. But I appreciate what you're doing to show respect for each other and for each other's health. I will tell you, we are having a serious problem in our congregation with the spread of this virus right now. We had gone through a period not unlike a lot of other folks when it first started, and it really affected us and our ability to be together for classes and for worship. And then after a while, we were able to get back to a more regular kind of schedule. But I would tell you right now, we have had to revert back. We have one service in person on Sunday morning that is fully masked like this service. Everything else we are doing online right now. We had between 50 and 60 people out this past week. And it's just up in Middle Tennessee, it's a real problem right now. But I'm very glad to be here with you and have this opportunity. I had gone almost 18 or 19 months without being able to be on the ground in Italy to work with the churches there that I work with on a regular basis. And I have to tell you, I was able to go in the middle of July. I came home just the middle of August. I've only been home a couple of weeks here. And I was delighted to be back there. Italy's been devastated by this virus. And I will try to resist the urge to talk to you about Italy the whole time that I'm here. But let me just say to you, the churches there are persevering. They have been through the storm, and the storm's not over for them. But they are persevering, and some good things have come out of this, and some good studies. We do a lot of studies on Zoom. Some good studies have come out of this. We have had good baptisms coming out of this from people who decided to study on Zoom who had never come to a meeting place or a Bible study before. So a lot of good things. It's all about discipleship. It's all about who we are. And I'm telling you this morning, we're here this morning because of who we are. We are the followers of Jesus. And that ought to be something that the people around us, our neighbors, our friends, the people we work with, there may be a lot of things about us that are unusual, that are different, that are, we could even say, odd. Some of us just are odd. But a lot of things that are just different from them, but the one thing they ought to recognize about us is that we're followers of Jesus. And it ought to be obvious to the people around us, beginning with, listen to me carefully, beginning with the people in our own homes. The people in our own homes. That means, husbands, that your wife ought to recognize about you, above all of your odd and eccentric ways, that you were a follower of Jesus, and you ought to be able to recognize that about her. And if there's anything that your children ought to carry with them when they leave your home, it is that my mom and dad follow Jesus. That's what our life is all about. That's why we're here this morning on the first day of the week. We're going to eat the bread and drink the cup, and we're going to commemorate together the sacrificial death of our Lord, and we are going to rejoice in the hope that we share for that life, which is life indeed, when God's going to gather all of His children together, and we're going to live in His presence, in the presence of the Lamb, forever and forever. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, a great discipleship chapter. We just completed a year study on the writings of Luke, volume 1, volume 2. Volume 1 is the Gospel of Luke, volume 2 is the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It is a continuation, the execution of the plan that Jesus was establishing with His apostles as we read through the biographical account in Luke's Gospel, the biographical account only of, for the most part, only of His ministry years. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 23, He said to all. Now that's important because I want you to know this was not a statement just for the apostles. He said to all, if anyone would come after me. If you underline things in your text, just underline that expression. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wow, that's loaded. And that preaches, but we can't stay here all morning. We've got too much to say. But I want you to know that when Jesus said, if any man would come after me, maybe you have a translation that says, follow after me. And you know that some of the synoptic accounts say, if any man would be my disciple. That's what we're talking about. Being the disciples of Jesus. What is a disciple of Jesus? One that follows after Jesus. Now, I want to show you something in the text very quickly. Look in Acts, the 11th chapter, and verse 26. Open your Bibles to Acts, the 11th chapter, and verse 26, and you're going to see that Barnabas has gone to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. In Antioch, where Barnabas was preaching, he goes and finds Saul and brings him there. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. I want you to underline the word disciples and the word Christians. Okay? Now, turn to Acts chapter 26, verses 27 and 28. Acts 26, verses 27 and 28. And the text says, for the king knows about these things, and to him, this is Paul before Agrippa. The king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. That's important. We're going to talk about that this week, because that's how disciples speak the word. I want to tell you, we're not timid with the word. We're not embarrassed about the word. We're not shy about it. Oh, we are not unsure of it. The text says, the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly, for I am persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? I want you to think about that. Paul is a disciple, he is a Christian. In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? Third passage is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And the text says, Peter writing to these Christians said, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. What is a disciple? A disciple is a Christian. The disciples were first called Christians. And I want to tell you, one of the things we learn in these three passages about these disciples who were Christians, number one, they were disciples, these that are called Christians. We don't use the word disciple so much today. They were disciples. And they were those who persuaded others. And they were selfless. The word disciple itself, though it's not a word we use a lot today, outside, especially outside the religious realm, it's very closely associated with another word, the word discipline. Now, maybe when you hear the word discipline, if you come from the old school, the word discipline meant a few whacks for encouragement and correction and redirection of your course of life. Spanking. The word discipline, as we're looking at the disciples, is that body of teaching to which the disciple has subordinated his will. It's what makes him a disciple. The disciple is the disciplined one. A disciple is a disciplined one. How is he disciplined? He is disciplined by his teacher, by his Lord. Now that makes sense because Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. This is the disciplined one. He's disciplined by the Word. And so, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. I want to say to you this morning that one of the things we need to understand, one of the things we must understand as disciples are disciplined ones, and they are disciplined by the teaching, by that body of truth, that doctrine that is directed to the intellect, to the minds of individuals. Without the teaching of the Word, there is no discipline. And without discipline, there is no disciple. Ladies and gentlemen, we have surrounded ourselves in this country with people who have a good feeling for Jesus, but they are not disciplined by Him. And they are not His disciples. And I'm saying to you this morning that the New Testament declares the disciple is a disciplined one. He is disciplined by the Word of God. The disciple is a person disciplined by that Word, and he is persuaded that this is right, that this is truth. Persuaded. I mean by that, when a person is persuaded, his mind is made up. I don't know if you're easily persuaded or not. Some of us have been called stubborn by people close to us who love us. Also by our parents who gave us that encouragement on the backside. Stubborn. But there is this process called persuasion that goes on. And that persuasion is very much associated with this discipline that has everything to do with the Word of God. A Christian is a persuaded person. And so I want you to note in Acts the 17th chapter, when the Apostle Paul comes to Thessalonica, this isn't in the lesson, but it's free, so just go ahead. In Acts the 17th chapter, when they come to Thessalonica, the text says that Paul went into the synagogue of the Jews, as was his custom on three Sabbath days. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded. You see that? That's what the Word of God does. That's what disciples do with the Word. When we're going out and teaching people, we are persuading them. And so Agrippa says to Paul, "With a little encouragement, you would persuade me to become a Christian, wouldn't you?" "Yeah, you don't even have to encourage me. I'll do it anyway." A persuaded person is a person whose mind is made up about something. He's been convinced. He's persuaded. He's arrived now. He's ready. And then Peter said, "Don't let any among you suffer as an evildoer." That's not who you are. And folks, I want to tell you, all suffering is not noble. You know, we are the God's people, the community of faith. We are the Bless Your Little Heart community, aren't we? A little one falls down, skins his knee. Well, bless your heart. And somebody has something unfortunate happen to them. We say, "Well, bless your heart." And I want to say to you that there's some pain and suffering in life. Peter said, It's not a blue ribbon to wear on your lapel. It's not something noble for you to suffer if you're an evildoer. There's nothing great about that. Let's not coddle those who are suffering because of sin. Let's love them and embrace them because they are lost souls for whom Jesus died, and they need to come to Christ with a penitent heart, leaving the very thing that has brought them the pain and the anguish in their lives. And so Peter says, if any of you suffer as an evildoer, don't be proud of yourself for suffering. Not all suffering is noble. But any man who suffers as a Christian, now that's different. Because Christians are selfless. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if any of you, He said it to them all, if anyone would be My disciple, if any would follow after Me, let him deny himself. I would tell you something. Of all the people in all the world, the disciples of Jesus ought to be the selfless ones. Now, I want to say something just as a general observation. I have no knowledge except good things about what has happened here. But as a general observation, I would say to you that sometimes when we go through a moment of difficulty, of pain, of duress, of persecution, of problem, of suffering, sometimes it brings out what's really in us for everyone to see. And sometimes we find out that the truth of the matter is, we're just a little selfish. I'm not going to camp out on this, but I'm going to say it more than once this week. Christians need to be careful what they post on Facebook. And I would just say to you, do you have an opinion about politics? So do I. You have an opinion about COVID? So do I. You have an opinion about politics and COVID and how these things have been all mixed up? So do I. But listen to me carefully. Christians need to be careful what they post. Because social media has been filled with what the secular world would call special interest groups and their thinking, and what we would observe as self-interest groups. And that's not who we are. We are a people, we're really a people who have tunnel vision. We see, we think, we speak one thing, Jesus. We're all about Jesus. We're all about following Him. We're all about honoring Him. We're all about bringing others to Him. So Paul said, you know what? When I'm with the Gentiles and they put meat before me, I eat it. Not my favorite thing. I didn't grow up eating pork chops, Paul said. But I'm telling you, I eat it because the thing that matters is Jesus. If I can teach them the gospel and they can come to Christ, let it happen. And if I'm with those who can't eat meat sacrifice, I'll never eat another piece of meat in my life. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you what matters to me, Paul said, is Jesus. Do I have my rights? Yeah, you have your rights. It's not about rights, Paul said. It's about bringing people to Jesus. That's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple does. He is a follower of Jesus. Three things that we need to remember about discipleship. From those three passages where the word Christian is mentioned, three times in the New Testament you find the word Christian. We just looked at those three passages. The Christian, the disciple, is a disciplined one. He is a persuaded one. His mind is made up. And he is a selfless one. And as a result of that, there are three things that are going to follow. Number one, this is a man who's going to act on his convictions, not on what's convenient for him. I just have to tell you, when I finally got back to Italy in the middle of July, you may remember that in the initial days of COVID, Italy was devastated. For a long time, we thought Italy was going to hold the world record on COVID problems and COVID deaths. No, they were just the warm-up band to what was coming. But I will tell you, there's been a lot of suffering there. There's been a lot of sickness. There has been a lot of social, economic, financial devastation, disaster. There has been one lockdown after another, after another. We had a lockdown in this country for a couple of weeks, and then various places had different lockdowns. You live in Florida, you don't understand. But I'm just saying, we think we went through something. Oh, and we get together and we tell the war stories about, I'll tell you what it was like those 2 weeks I had to stay home. And here we go, bless your little heart. And we bless their hearts. In Italy, they had military police
in military tanks and vehicles roaming the streets. You better not get out of your house. They had state police walking the neighborhoods. They had local police knocking on doors, checking papers. I'm telling you, folks, we need to get a handle on ourselves here about what a disciple is. Disciples are those who rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so I'll tell you something Christians do together. Disciples do together. They are people of the Word. So we can't get together at the meeting place to get into the Word together. Well, we get together online and get into the Word together. But I'll tell you what they did. They got together and studied the Word one way or the other. They stayed in the Word. I'll tell you something that Christians did together over and over again in New Testament times. They prayed together. And I'll tell you what these Christians did. Month after month after month, they called each other on the phones, on their cell phones, and they prayed together. And they got online in their Zoom rooms, and they prayed together. Because that's what Christians do when they're together. When they were finally allowed to go outside, they couldn't be more than 500 meters from their legal residence. They would stand outside in front of their doors or outside on their terrace, and they would sing. And inasmuch as many family units often lived in the same little duplex or fourplex, they were all members of the same family, all standing out on their balcony, all singing hymns together. You know why? Because that's who they are. I'm talking about people who live by conviction. By conviction. Living by conviction is not living according to the consequence. I'll tell you how one way you can measure whether or not you are living by conviction. That is to say, when it comes to making your spiritual decisions, you don't make spiritual decisions by measuring them against the consequences. Well, I know the Bible... you've studied with people who measured against the consequences and they never acted on their conviction or what they said was their conviction. We've been studying now, David, for the last 8 months, and I think I've got this now. I understand what you're saying, and I really agree with you that I need to confess Christ as the Son of God, and I need to put Him on in baptism, just like they did in New Testament times. I believe that is the New Testament way. But I just want to tell you, I can't do that. Really? Let's go back. What did you not understand about this passage? No, it's not the passage. I understand the passage. I know that's what it teaches. I believe that is the right thing to do. I just can't do that. Oh, why? Well, in this country, that person would be saying, well, my grandmother, let me just tell you, my grandmother, years ago, she had an awful experience with, and here we go. And I'll tell you right now, I could just never break my grandmother's heart. In Italy, they would say, well, you know if I do this, not only will I be excommunicated from the Roman church, but I'll be disinherited by my family. And let me just say to you, folks, that's not theoretical there. It's happened over and over and over again. I tell you, I'll lose everything. I don't know what would happen to my wife, to my children. Do you trust God? Well, yeah, I trust God, but I just don't know. You know, this is a big decision. If I do what I know this is right. And I said, do you want to do what's right? Yes, I want to do what's right, but the fear is for the consequence. I'm saying to you, a disciple of Jesus makes decisions based on conviction of what is right. Not by reasoning from a consequence that may or may not come about. That's an important principle. Secondly, a disciple of Jesus is one who serves God, not himself. I mean, he puts God first. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? Jesus said. Folks, I do want to tell you, I think sometimes, I don't know how it happened, but I think we have filled a lot of pews with folks who are terribly confused about what Jesus was calling us to and about what he said about the kingdom. Jesus did not say that if you will follow me, I'm telling you right now, we're all going to hold hands, we're going to have the best time together, and this is going to be great. Jesus said, before you sign on, don't just say, hey, Lord, I want to be your disciple. When you get to the end of the chapter in Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9 is a great disciple chapter. When you get to the end of the chapter, Jesus is going to tell about three men who are called to be disciples. One said, Lord, I'll follow you. And Jesus said, you don't even know what you're saying. You don't have any idea what you're saying. The foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Son of man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Let me tell you, the kingdom of God is not for selfish people. And one of our biggest challenges is that we're selfish. And we are constantly fighting that battle of serving self. And the real battle is when we're having to choose between serving self and serving God. And so, we listen to Jesus as he is calling his disciples. He said, did you think that I came to bring peace to the earth? I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set a man at variance against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's enemies are going to be those of his own household. And that's hard. We think about what Jesus said, and that's hard. But I want to suggest to you, that's not the hardest part of that discourse. Listen. Jesus went on to say, and he who loves father, mother, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's about priorities. It's about what comes first. It's about who's number one. It's about what my life is all about. Service in the kingdom before service to self has to do with selflessness. You remember when the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, after he has rebuked Peter to his face for the inconsistency he was showing, and he was reminding him that by the works of the law, no one's going to be justified. And then Paul said, you know, this is all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. And he said, it is no longer I who live. It's Christ
living in me. I'm always amazed when people say, don't you get tired of traveling so much? Well, sometimes. Don't you think it's dangerous to be in some of those countries? Yes, but have you ever been in downtown Nashville on a Friday night? I mean, where do we think we're living? Don't you think you might get sick? I have to tell you, in July, before I left to go to Italy, I thought a lot about that. I had a lot of help thinking about that because lots of people asked me, had I considered that? As if you could not. Yes, I thought about that. I also realized when I came back that there were more people sick with COVID in the church there in Spring Hill, Tennessee, than there were in the churches in Italy when I was working with them. But I could get sick there. And what would happen if you were to die over there? I just want to tell you this. I would say to you in all honesty, wouldn't be my first choice to die over there. For a lot of reasons. But the second thing I'll say to you is the more important thing. I think I could go to be with the Lord just as quickly from Italy as from the U.S. I really do. And folks, I'm not taking this with me anyway. Who are disciples? We're the followers of Jesus. And Jesus said, I want you to know, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily. It's not like somewhere along the way you make a sacrifice for the Lord and you have borne your cross. No. It means that we live our life every day sacrificing self to a cause to which we have committed ourselves. Now, our time is up, but I just want to ask you this. In your heart of hearts, do you think that today we are really disciples of Jesus according to the New Testament pattern? Well, okay. Scratch that question. Let's ask another one. There's a sense in which that question's too easy. Let's ask the hard question. Do I really think today that I am a disciple of Jesus according to the New Testament teaching? That's the harder question. That's the personal question. But I want to say to you, that's the question that matters. And this week we're going to be talking about discipleship and what it means and how we express our discipleship in following Jesus. And I am really delighted for the opportunity to engage in these studies together with you. Thank you so much.